Hi everyone, I'm Greg Laurie and I'm in Central Park here in beautiful New York City. I read an article in the paper the other day that pointed out the three things that people search for on Google late at night. Three things, top three topics. What do you think they are? Number one, porn. That was predictable. Number two, lonely. And number three, suicide. That's interesting. I think there's a connection. What does that say? Late at night, people are empty, they're lonely, they're out looking at porn, what a waste of time. And they're just feeling this void in their life, and some are even contemplating suicide. I think everybody out there is searching for answers, and you know what? God has answers, and He gives them to us in the Bible. And if you're a Christian, He has commanded you and me and all of us together to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Jesus did not say that the whole world should go to church, but He did say the church should go to the whole world. We need to look for opportunities to share our faith as followers of Christ. But here's something I find interesting also. I know that some of you watching this program right now are not Christians. Actually, studies have shown that a surprisingly large percentage of those that watch Christian television and listen to Christian radio are not Christians at all. They're sort of eavesdropping on our conversation. You might be surprised to know that's how I came to become a Christian myself. I was not raised in a Christian home. In fact, I was raised in a crazy alcoholic home, and my mom was married and divorced 7 times, and I lived an insane life for a young kid. I saw things no little boy should ever see. But it got me on a search early in life, a search for the meaning and purpose of my life. And the way that I ended up hearing the gospel was there was a little Bible study on the front lawn of the high school I was attending. Obviously, this was a long time ago. And I sat down close enough where I could sort of eavesdrop on the conversation, but not so close that people would think I was joining up with the Jesus freaks, because that would be like social suicide, right? Well, sitting there listening, I began to hear for the first time the message of who Jesus was in a way that I understood it. And I hope that in this program, you, some of you who are watching, who are not yet believers, will hear for the first time the message of Jesus in a way that you can understand it. And at the end of the program, I want to talk to you about how you can personally make a commitment to Jesus Christ so you won't have to be Googling empty and lonely anymore. You'll have the answer. What is heaven? Heaven is the dwelling place of God. And one day it can be our home if we believe. And sometimes we ask the question, well, what is heaven like? Why do we ask that question? Because we have a lot of strange caricatured versions of heaven. We think of ourselves sitting around in fluffy white clouds and plucking harps and fat little baby angels hovering above us with little wings, you know, and it sounds strange. Well, that's not a biblical version of heaven. I think instead of asking the question, what is heaven like, why don't you ask the question, what is earth like? And when I say, what is earth like, what is earth at its best? Think of the most amazing sunset you've ever seen, or the most incredible waterfall or foliage around it. Think about the most amazing architecture you've ever laid your eyes on, or the greatest city you've ever visited. Or go back in your life for a moment and remember some of the greatest moments you've had with family and friends. Or what about the best meal you've ever had? Those are glimpses of heaven. Because heaven is not an imitation of earth. Earth is an imitation of heaven. So the best that you've ever experienced on this earth is going to be way, way better in heaven. Listen to this. Heaven is a real place for real people to do real things. Jesus said, I've gone to prepare a place for you. I feel like you want to applaud. Just get it out. Let it out. There you go. What is it like? Well, the Apostle Paul had the unique experience of dying and going to heaven and returning. He didn't write a book about it, but he told us a few things about it. So many scholars believe this is when Paul was stoned. No, not that kind of stoned. He stoned with rocks and left for dead. And Paul writes about it, or speaks of it, and this is from a modern translation. In 2 Corinthians 12, Paul says, I was swept into ecstasy to the heights of heaven. I don't know if I was in the body or out of the body. God knows. But Paul says, I was hijacked into paradise and I heard the unspeakable spoken. I love that translation. Hijacked into paradise and I heard the unspeakable spoken. That's where he went. So look, when I want to know about a place, I try to talk to someone who's been there. So if I'm going to go visit a city, maybe it's New York or Chicago or some other place, if I know someone there, I'll say, hey, what's a good place to stay? What's the weather like this time of the year? What do you do when you're there? And most importantly, what are the best places to eat, right? I want to talk to a person who's been there. There's only one person that's a reliable source on the afterlife who's been there in return, and we celebrate his death and resurrection today, Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus said in John 6:38, I have come down from heaven to do the will of God. So he came down from heaven. The title of my message is Hello from the Other Side. Now you really can't go anywhere without hearing that song by Adele. I don't own that song. I haven't downloaded it, but I've heard it so many times in malls here, there. You know, it's a very popular song. She's singing about a breakup, how she misses her old lover. But I want us to look at it for a moment from an eternal perspective and think about what happened when Jesus came back and told us what we need to do. He came down from heaven. Now, of course, this is a day we remember that Jesus died on the cross, and he rose again from the dead. He was born in that manger in Bethlehem. He lived a perfect life. He declared himself as the Messiah. There was an initial excitement and response culminating with Palm Sunday when they laid palm branches at his feet. But things turned ugly. One of his hand-chosen disciples and friends, Judas Iscariot, turned on him. Peter, who was really the ringleader of the disciples, but denied that he ever knew Jesus. Jesus was sent to a kangaroo court of injustice on trumped up false charges. He was beaten. He was scourged. He was nailed to a cross, and there he died. Now we look at this and we say, how could this be part of any plan? Oh, it was a plan. It was God's perfect, well-ordered plan. And listen to this. God was the master of ceremonies at the cross. Isaiah 53 said, it was the will of God to crush him and put him to grief. Isaiah says, it pleased the Father to bruise him. How could the Father possibly be pleased by the horrible treatment that his son faced? How could the Father be pleased by the fact that his son was beaten beyond human recognition? Well, God wasn't pleased by that. God wasn't pleased by the fact that his judgment had to be poured on his son who was dying in our place. God was pleased with the outcome. God was pleased with what would come as a result. God was pleased by the fact that thousands of us would gather on Easter Sunday and celebrate a risen Lord because of his death and resurrection, not just here, but in churches all around the world. Here's Jesus. He's alive. I would have expected him to say something like, ta-da. What he says is interesting. He says basically, hello. Hello from the other side, if you will, verse 9. Hello, it's a common greeting, by the way. It wasn't a special greeting. It was the way they normally greeted each other in this time. It's sort of a festive, jubilant, happy greeting. Hey, hello. You know, we use different greetings and depending on where we're from, here in California, we'll just say hi. If you're from the South, you might say hey. If you're from the Bronx, you might say yo. If you're from Hawaii, you might say aloha. Or if you're a local, you'll say how's it, brah. If you're from Israel, you'll say shalom. If you're from Italy, you'll say ciao. Just different ways we greet one another. But my point is, it was a common greeting. You know, there's different ways you greet people around the world, and experts tell us we need to know this lest we offend someone by our greeting. Here in the West, when we meet someone for the first time, we might shake their hand, or it might be one of those awkward half-hug handshake things, you know, where you go in for the handshake and they go in for the hug, and it gets very awkward for that moment. But in different cultures, they express themselves in interesting ways. For instance, in Japan, they bow from the waist. It's a sign of showing honor. You bow. The lower you bow, the greater honor you're showing. In Polynesia, listen to this. You take your friend's hands and use them to stroke your face. Now, if you do that here, you might get hit. It'll never happen to you, sir. In Belize, listen to this. In Belize, you press your fists together. That's an interesting way to greet someone. How are you? Good. Whoa. Are you going to hurt me or something? In Tibet, it's very polite to stick out your tongue at someone. I'm serious. It shows you have no evil thoughts. Wow. A lot of ways you can greet one another, but here's Jesus, alive and well. And he basically says, hey, hi, hello, yo, how's it? Greetings. It's a common greeting, and it's an interesting way to say hello to everyone after he has come back again from the dead. But here's the important thing. What takeaway truths are there from the story of the death and resurrection of Jesus? We want to make sure we find these out so we can start enjoying them. Number one, because of the resurrection of Jesus, if you're a Christian, you will have life after death in heaven. Now, again, I want to emphasize this is for believers only, not for a non-believer. Heaven is not the default destination of every person. It's only the destination of the person who's put their faith in Christ. So that comes to the question, what happens when we die? Well, that all depends. If you're a Christian, you go straight to heaven. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Straight to heaven. The Apostle Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Paul wrote, you know, I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far greater. That's what happens when a Christian dies. Our body goes into the ground, but our spirit goes right into the presence of God. That's a great truth. And we know this because 1 Corinthians 15:21 says, since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. So Jesus has overcome death at the cross. Here's one way to think about it. A believer does not have to fear death any more than we have to be afraid of taking a nap. I have to admit something to you. I take a nap almost every day now. I don't know if that's a good thing to publicly disclose, but it's true. I don't take long naps. They're not hour naps. They're not even half hour naps. I don't get in bed. I just maybe will prop my feet up on my desk or just close my eyes. And sometimes it's a 5-minute nap, but I found it sort of refreshes me. It sort of clears the cobwebs out. I did a little research on it to justify this behavior. And I read that naps restore alertness, help us avoid burnout. They're described by experts as a system reboot. They heighten sensory perception and even reduce heart disease. I know some of you are going to say, well, what did Greg talk about today at church at Easter? Oh, he talked about naps. But you don't fear taking a nap. You know, it's a sad thing. You know you're getting old when happy hour is a nap, okay? But you don't have to be afraid of that. And that's how the Bible often describes death for a Christian. You know, after Lazarus died, Jesus said of him, he's asleep. Even when Stephen was dying a violent death at the hand of wicked men, hands of wicked men, we read that he fell asleep. And that's a beautiful picture. Now, when I say fall asleep, it doesn't mean you're going to take a long, eternal nap. You know, your body goes into the ground, your spirit goes into the presence of God, but one day you're going to wake up, your body will come alive again. And 1 Corinthians 15:51 says, let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all sleep or die. We'll be transformed. It'll happen in the twinkling of an eye when the last trumpet is blown. The trumpet will sound, and those who have died will be raised to live forever. And we who are living will be transformed, for our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. There's going to be a bodily resurrection of your loved ones who have died in faith. There'll be a bodily resurrection for you. But the Bible teaches there's a generation, and we could be that generation, that will not see death. They will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. We call it the rapture. Because of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, there will be a final judgment. There'll be a final judgment. Acts 17:31 says he's appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained. And he's given assurance of this by raising him from the dead. Now, this can be good or bad news depending on how you are living. It's good to know that one day God will right every wrong. That brings us great comfort when you think of all the atrocities and injustices and wrongs and wanton acts of terrorism and murder and much, much more, that one day all wrongs will be righted. There's a final court of arbitration. There'll be final justice meted out. But we don't have to be afraid if we're a Christian of this final judgment, because the Bible says there's a judgment for Christians. It says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the rewards of the way we've lived, loose paraphrase there. And the idea is, think of it like an award ceremony. It'd be like you ran a great race and now you're gonna go get your medal. Are you dreading that? I don't think so, because you did well. You know, it's like watching the Oscars or the Emmys. I love on the Oscars how they have those split screens and they have a tight shot of all the people that are nominated, and then the winner is announced and they jump out of their seat and everyone else smiles and applauds. Well, remember, they're actors, right? They're not happy at that moment. Well, you're all going to win. We're all going to win something for our faithfulness. If you've served the Lord faithfully, you'll be rewarded in that day. The Bible sums it up this way: sow to the Spirit and you'll reap life everlasting, but if you sow to the flesh, you'll reap corruption. So if you've lived a godly life, you'll receive the reward for that godly life. But listen, if you've lived an ungodly life, you'll face the repercussions for that too. And the big question on this final day is not going to be how good of a life did you live, because even if you lived the best life possible, you still fall short of God's standard. But God will not let you into heaven because you've lived a good life. You need to come through Jesus. That's the only way to get into heaven. And that final day, it's not so much a sin question as much as it is a son question, S-O-N, as in what did you do with Jesus, the Son of God? And if you've not put your faith in him, then you will face a certain judgment. You know, I answered the question, what happens to a Christian when they die? They go to heaven. What happens to a non-Christian when they die? Well, according to Scripture, they will face judgment. And yes, there is a hell. Now, some of you are thinking, oh, Greg, please, are you kidding me? I finally got my mom to come to church, and you're actually talking about hell? Greg, we're dressed in pastel colors, and we're going to go to Easter brunch, and I'm going to meet the Easter bunny later. Sad thing is I'm 40, but still I'm excited. Don't talk about hell in church on Easter Sunday. Keep it light and keep it short. Listen, Jesus died on the cross and rose again from the dead so you can go to heaven. Jesus died on the cross and rose again from the dead so you don't have to go to hell. I want you to take that home with you and have this relationship with God. Do you think if all roads led to God and a good life would get you to heaven, that God would have poured his judgment upon his own beloved son? Of course not, because there was no other way to satisfy his righteous demands. Jesus died in our place and he rose again from the dead. And now we have the hope of life beyond the grave. We have the hope of reunion. You know, when you have loved ones that have preceded you to heaven, you know you'll see them one day. I know I'll see my son Christopher again in heaven. I'll see my mom again. I'll see my dad again. You'll see your loved ones who have died in faith again. But the non-believer, they don't have this hope. You can have all of your near-death experiences and read all your little books and watch all your little movies, and you might find that you've been taking in a lot of fiction. I would rely on a document that we can trust, and that is the Bible. And God has told us what happens on the other side. And if you want to know that you'll go to heaven when you die, you can by believing in Jesus Christ. Listen to this. Jesus died on the cross. He rose again. And he's here right now, right here with all of us. And he's standing at the door of your life and he is knocking. And he is saying, if you'll hear his voice and open the door, he'll come in.
Join us again next week, won't you, for another feature of Greg Laurie TV.
Thank you.
If you would like your sin forgiven, if you would like your guilt removed, if you would like to know that you will go to heaven when you die, I'd like to lead you in a prayer. And this is a prayer of asking Jesus Christ to come into your life. You see, being a Christian isn't just believing there is a God. It's having God live inside of you. It's having Jesus coming into your life as Savior and Lord. In fact, Jesus says he stands at the door and he knocks. And if we'll hear his voice and open the door, he'll come in. I'd love to lead you in a prayer where you would ask Jesus into your life. And if you pray this prayer and mean it, trust me, God will hear and answer this prayer. So if you want him to come into your life, pray this with me right now. Just pray, Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, but I know that you are the Savior who died on the cross for me and rose again from the dead 3 days later. I turn from my sin now, and I choose to follow you from this moment forward. Thank you for coming into my life and forgiving me of my sin. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you just prayed that prayer, I want you to know that Christ himself has come to live inside of you. And I want to say congratulations. Now we want to help you get started moving forward spiritually. I have a gift I want to send you at no charge. It's a Bible. Now, this is sort of a special Bible. It's called the Start Bible. It's designed for a person who has just made a commitment to Christ like you have. And it has a bunch of notes in it that I wrote. In fact, I worked on it for about 3 years. But it's designed to help a person who's never read the Bible before to understand it and how it works in their life. So I want to send you the Start Bible as a gift. And also, we want to talk to you. Now, there's a phone number on the screen right now. There's also a web address that you can go to and learn more about what it means to follow Jesus Christ. So thanks for watching our program. And until next time, God bless you.